You know, the good word that we get, I hope we never take any of what happens in our services for granted, because it's always right on. It's appropriate for where we are as a group of people, and it seems like it just happens week after week, and it just shows the faithfulness of God. I just feel really blessed listening, absorbing everything that transpires during all of the different services that we end up having. The Great Commission that Jesus told the disciples was to go out into all the world and make disciples of the nations. And really, that really gets down to the nub of what we're really experiencing in our gathering together. It isn't just to become believers, not to go out and just make believers share the gospel, which is the first step. Obviously, you can't become a disciple unless you're a believer. But when that first step of coming to the realization that we can earn our way into heaven, that we are sinners by nature, and that we do need the love of God and the atoning work of Christ to allow us to be acceptable to God and to enter into eternal life and experience eternal life is just the first step of what Jesus wanted us to do, right? It wasn't just to come to that realization and thankfulness and acceptance, but that would do something within us, produce a progression of response to God and relationship with God, and in the greatest sense to be disciples, someone who sits at the feet of the Master, who's very conscious of his presence, who wants to serve him, who is willing to set aside themselves to go to something that's higher and deeper and purer and stronger and more of truth and more of righteousness, right? I mean, and the words that we get are bringing us in that direction. And I look back and I think of that, and I listen to, well, most of Reggie's message. I got waylaid and didn't finish the last maybe 20 minutes of it or so. I might even say something that you said. I'm not sure. But, you know, for example, about habits, that's something when we talk about these things, when we get messages about this, it's something that's taking us beyond the thankfulness. It isn't that we're not thankful, or that we shouldn't be, or that we shouldn't reflect upon salvation in its initial stages and what Jesus did for us. But Jesus does say, you know, make disciples of the nations. And so these are steps that we're taking. And sometimes we just need to realize, you know, this is what we're doing. We're taking steps to press toward the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. We're moving beyond being babies that just need to be fed the milk, but that we can hear the mature word of righteousness, of sacrifice, of commitment, of mortifying the deeds of the flesh. And it's not just something that we hear, but that we say, God, help me, I need to put this into practice. You know, I thought that was great that Reggie asked, well, how many people have noticed about the whole thing with habits? Because really the rubber hits the road when you actually are, and I are putting something into motion, putting something into practice, asking God to remind and to make clear that rhema word that comes on a Sunday to help focus our minds in the right direction, to be able to allow God to touch us in the place that we need to be touched in during the week. And all of us have these different things. The word comes forth in the general sense of habits, but we all have different habits that God has to be working on. And it's just really great the way the Lord can gather us all up in a message, in a word, and deal with us and work with us in very specific areas of our lives. And isn't that just a great thing? And it shows His love. It shows His faithfulness. And I think that's just fantastic. One of the things that came across to me this week, and this popped out to me yesterday when I was listening to last week's message, was at one point in the message, somebody, I was responding with Reggie, and there was a thing mentioned about, well, that takes the renewing of your mind. You have to have a mind change. The Lord quickened that to me as I heard it, and then connected with something else that the Lord was showing me last week too. So I'm going to be talking about the renewing of our minds today in conjunction with what has been coming over the last numbers of weeks. So if you would turn in your Bibles to the book of Ephesians, chapter 4. Now, I can't remember if I was reading this on my own. I was reading it on my own last week, but I think it might have also been in the message. Was there something that either Reggie said or somebody said about being new creatures in Christ? Yeah, that's where you started. Okay. When we're born again, our minds are renewed. In the sense that we have gone from something that's old to something that's new. The old man in Christ, and now we have the capability of a new kind of life. And part of that new kind of life is a new way of thinking. Right? For habits to be broken, we need to be aware of those habits. You don't break something if you're not giving it to God and say, God, I see I need some help here, right? You know, I need some help here, and we ask, and then God comes in and moves in there in His own miraculous kind of way. Now I'm going to read in Ephesians chapter 4. I'm going to start in verse 17. It says this: "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord." If he says, "And I testify in the Lord," what's he saying there? I'm saying this, and I'm testifying in the Lord.
He's living.
Huh? There's a living aspect to it because there's a testimony, right? And it was God that was working in Paul this very thing. And for him to see. And he says this, that you henceforth don't walk as other Gentiles walk. In what? In the vanity of their mind. Now what does the word vanity mean? An emptiness.
Self-absorbed.
There's a self-absorbed thing with it. You know, if somebody's vain, which is, you know, vanity. If somebody's vain, you know, they're looking at themselves in the mirror, right? And, you know, everything just looks so good, you know? So there's this, but there's an emptiness to that because you're so focused on yourself. So keep this in mind as we work our way through the scriptures here. So he's saying that don't walk like other people walk in the vanity, in the emptiness, in the self-absorbed place of their minds. Having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. Now, before we became Christians, our minds were totally in the dark. We had no concept of really much about sin. I remember before I became a Christian that I thought I was a pretty good guy. I thought, I don't kill, I don't smoke, I don't chew, you know, that whole little piece there. I don't do those things. I'm a pretty good guy. I'm going to go to heaven because I deserve to. But I was, aren't we so in the dark before that light comes on and we go, you know what? Thank God that God so loved the world that Jesus died for this dark way that we look at life. We're blind. And we're blind about our own selves. Yes. Isn't that true?
Oh, yes.
You know? And what really has been hitting me is that even after you come to Christ, Don't you find that, you know what, I'm still in the dark about a number of things. I'm still blinded about ways about myself that really need to get straightened out. Right? And this is because we're alienated from the life of God by the way we think. We have this old way of thinking that's placed down on us through what we see on TV and what our friends are doing and their influence in our life, and we accept things that really don't belong in our heads. And we accept that, and as life goes on, it just becomes, and this is part of what Reggie was talking about, it becomes a habit of mind. Doesn't it? We have all kinds of other habits, you know, driving habits and all these things that and Reggie touched on that. But I'm really looking at this thing about the habit of our minds, because really it's what we think and our attitude of thinking that really sets the course for our life. Isn't that right? If you don't think you have to have something dealt with in your life, if you think, well, I'm okay there. Now, that person, they need this, they need that, but I don't need it. I'm okay. Is really much of anything really going to happen in your life when you're in the dark about it?
No.
No. So he goes on. And says, and he talks about this blood because of the blindness of their heart. Do you? I guess you know. And I think the last time I preached a couple weeks ago, I took something out of the Book of Revelation about the church of Laodicea, and Jesus says to the church, "Don't you know that you are miserable and poor and blind and naked? And I urge you to get eye salve so that your eyes can be healed." What's he talking about? The church, even after we become new creatures, there's more in the process of new life and being and actually living as new creatures than just that initial step in the right direction. Isn't that right? Mm-hmm. And here's the church. They're blind about their attitudes about things, about their need, about their reaching out, their love. They're blind. And I think for any of us that really are pressing toward what God wants the most for us to have, and we look to be disciples, then we want to take real attention. We want to put our attention on this, right? So he says, as he keeps going here in verse 19, who, being past feeling, have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you haven't learned Christ like that. If so be that you've heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former behavior the old man. Well, I thought we're new. I thought we're already new. Well, we are in one sense. But there's a progression that goes, obviously, because, every day we need to be aware of things. Our mind needs to have a focus so that we're able to grab a hold of what the Lord is saying to us. And we get a message on Sunday, and hopefully through that week, things are happening in our life where we remind ourselves of that word, and sometimes a circumstance happens which reminds us of that word, right? And he says, concerning the former behavior, put off the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. Lust, desire, what you want, what I want, is deceitful. What's that mean? Yeah, it tricks us. We think we know what's best.
We lie to ourselves.
But that's right, we don't. We don't really know what's best. We want to avoid situations sometimes that we need to walk through. I'll tell you what, I don't want to walk through anything more than I have to. I don't want to go through any dealings more than I have to. And yet, there are things that God puts in front of me anyway that I have to face in my life. And it's the best thing for me. And it's important that when those kinds of things are happening in my life, that I see it in the right way. Now, let me read you this next thing. Because in verse 23, he says, and be renewed in the what of your mind?
Spirit.
In the spirit of your mind. The word spirit here means attitude. The attitude of your mind. The way you approach things in life. The way you, how you perceive what's going on in your life. And you have this attitude about it. I'm going to go through a few things to give you some example. But the attitude, the spirit of our mind, is so very important in being able to recognize how our mind is working, so that if it's a bad habit of mind, if it's a bad attitude of mind and heart, that we realize it, give it over to God, so that we can move on past that, so we can put that old man aside with the old way of thinking and put on the new way of thinking, the new way of approaching what's going on in our lives. You think that might be important for us? So, and then the verse 24 says, and then you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So there's a whole aspect of making sure that we're in the process of allowing God to work out those moral failings, you know, so that we live a more righteous kind of life, because that helps us to be able to recognize other things that need to get changed in our life. It isn't just the moral aspect, it's the way we approach life, it's the way we think about what God's doing and or what's happening in the world and what I have to do and why did this happen to me. I'm gonna go down through one right now. I'm gonna go through a few right now.
No.
Because I want to talk about that, yeah.
You know, when I've read this before a lot of times, putting on the new man is kind of awkward sometimes, because a lot of times you think, oh, I'm just putting on something. It's not really me, I'm just putting on the new man.
Yeah.
But it's like clothes, you
clothes.
Know, you put your old clothes off, you put your new clothes on, and sometimes you do feel awkward. In those new
clothes. Set of clothes.
You feel different anyway,
yeah.
You
yes.
know. But the new clothes are the ones, hopefully, that are the real ones.
Yes.
You know, the
what God intended.
One given to you by God.
Yes.
You know, not and put off the old clothes.
That's a really great point. You understand that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes we think, well, this isn't really who I am. I'm just putting this on.
Yeah.
No, this is what God intended. You put on some other clothes in, and I have put on these other clothes while we were growing and outside of Christ, and even after we come to Christ, sometimes we don't realize it because we're still in the dark on some things and are alienated from understanding what God's doing, and so we think, oh, this is who I am. These are the clothes I wear. When no, that isn't who we really are, and we need to put on what the Lord calls new clothes, because it's the ones that was created in righteousness and holiness, and this is what He's looking for us to be clothed in,
mm-hmm.
right? To walk in. So that is a really important point. I also want to say, as far as attitude of mind, we're not talking about intelligence.
Right.
And we're not talking about what you know or don't know. That's not what we're talking about when we're talking about the spirit of our minds. That if we're to be renewed in the spirit of our mind, we're talking about attitude. We're talking about approach. We're talking about how we perceive and what it is that forms the way that we look at a particular thing in our life. That's what we're talking about, the attitude, the spirit of our mind. So I want to go down through a few that I thought. Wait a minute, before I even do that. Yeah, in verse 23 it says, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. There's two different words for renewed. And there's the renew, where it's something that's old that's now being changed and you're putting on something new. This renew is a different word, and it means that something that that's already come to you is now being made more alive, more, I think the word was youthful, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Kathy had looked up the definition for me. So this is talking about, see, we've already been renewed, we've already become new creatures. Well, how come I don't see what I need to see in myself, you know? Because there's a, once we get that, there's something where we are now investing in that ourselves to keep it young, to keep it alive, to keep it vibrant. And this is where I think the church is, it requires staying alive to this new thing, and allowing that renewed mind, that renewed life that God has already given us, to just start percolating more and more. You know? When yeah, go ahead.
The word that comes to my mind is refresh.
Yeah, a refreshing, yeah. Right? It's refreshed. Good, that's a good, yeah. Good word for that. Isn't that great? This is for us. You know? I like this whole thing with the renewing that God has. Now, you know, there's somebody was saying it to us, Steve. We can focus on negative or on positive. And the old man tends to focus on the negative. And this is what I want to show that part of what this old way of thinking is, this old mind, one of the things that happens in life, in an approach to things, is that you feel like you're a victim. You feel like you're a victim. Well, should have known. This is what always happens to me.
I hear that all the time at work. At work, it's crazy. Yeah. People come in, that's the first thing they say. Well, not everybody, but a large percentage say,
yeah.
Oh, if it's going to happen, it's going to happen to me.
Yeah, oh, if it's going to happen, it's going to happen to me. That's right.
Yeah.
You feel like you're
one in a million. If it's going to happen to one in a million, it's going to happen to me.
Yeah. And this is the negative thing. This is the dark. This is the dark thing. And I'll tell you, you know, what you were saying, Reggie, we get a word from the Lord. That word, the scripture says, every word of God is tested. We should realize that these things are going to happen. And we start off real good at the beginning of the week, and then usually we forget, we get distracted, all these different things happen, and we find out that we're not so much in the light as we think we are. We're not so much given to Jesus as we think we are or want to be. And so what does this do? Does this drive us to despair? Do we just say, oh, I'm just going to give up? I mean, what's the use? There's that kind of attitude of mind, isn't there? That attitude of mind brings your thoughts in a different direction than what God wants to do from the circumstances that happen in our lives. God has things that are going to only bring us to something good. That doesn't mean they're always good things. But God will turn everything to good for those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. Isn't that right?
Yes.
So we know that this is true, but we... If we think of... If we're in the dark about... That the way we approach life by thinking, well, you know, this is if it's bad, it's going to happen to me. I'm just a victim here. Do we then have any kind of clarity, light that says, okay, this is the situation I am in. Now, how do I get from where I'm at right now to some place that's more positive?
First thing,
right.
You have to do,
you understand that?
Is not accept. Don't accept. It's a mind blowing to me how many people accept that as truth. Like that's going to happen to me. I got this bad shadow that's always around me.
Yes.
They accept it right off the bat.
Yep.
It's mind blowing. But the first thing you got to do is get rid of that acceptance.
Right.
Don't accept it.
This is the renewing part of the mind, is to say, wait a minute. This isn't what Jesus gave me. This isn't coming from God. This is a holdover from my former way of thinking in life. And I don't have to accept that. That is a real big step in being able to take the next step. Because if you believe that God is against you, and why do all these things always happen to you and me, then we think, well, I guess that's just the way it is, and God wants me to suffer, and this and that, and then all these other thoughts control, dark thoughts control our minds. And what God is looking for is something that's completely way different than that. And we have to realize, wait a minute, that is from the old man, not from the new. God is for me. Who can be against me? This is where knowing some scripture really helps out. I know what I see, and I'm in this bad place, but I know that if Jesus loved me to die on the cross for me, he also then loves me enough to take me from where I am, and he will get me out of this. I do know that we're more than conquerors through him who strengthens us. Yeah, Rachel.
I was just going to say, in Thessalonians, where it says, be thankful in all circumstances, and I always play that one around. So if you find yourself where you don't want to be, you thank God, because you know, A, he's always with you. B, you rejoice because he will show you something through whatever you're going through. There's a chance of being closer to him because you run to him. And thank him because you know he works only for you.
Yes, and see, and that's a great example of living with a renewed mind. Wait a minute, I'm going to thank him. Because I don't understand everything here, but I know that he's good. Can we all say that? Do we all know? God is good. He's a good, good father. You know? He's faithful. He's loving. So why are these things happening? I don't know. But there's one thing where I'm going to stand, and I'm going to stand on that thought, not this other thought that makes my head swirl around. How many of us have gotten caught with our heads, spinning around with the circumstances of life that, and it's because of the way you think?
Yeah, see, some of it, I think some people may, say, oh, it's me, but some of the things that happen to us are things that we caused in the past.
Yes.
And we need to look our life into the future with God.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that shows up when because if you're wallowing in the victimhood, if you're wallowing there, you can't be showing, hey, wait a minute, that's your own fault.
Right.
And because it is, that means if you change what you did to get yourself in that situation, then that situation isn't going to keep coming back and plaguing you and plaguing you. It isn't going to keep happening. Well, that's at least a step in the right direction, isn't it? But that's what's important, is that we don't allow the victim card that the enemy wants to throw at our heads. That's an old way of thinking that... sorry to say, all of us experience even after we become Christians. Isn't that true? We do have to deal with that. And every single one of these things I'm talking about, it's a battle. It's a battle. We want to, I've noticed every time I've tried to step away from an old habit, or I get battled. It isn't just real simple, is it? And we've got to be people that say, oh, okay, this is part of what is involved here. I'm going to hold my thought in the right direction here. Yeah? It has to stay positive in Christ and not be looking at this old, the old way of approaching the situation.
Malcolm.
Go ahead.
You go ahead.
Oh, was he trying to say something all this time?
No, we just said your name at the same time.
Okay.
When I think of vanity, I also think of self-absorption.
Yep.
And some people are just so obsessed with themselves, they even like to play the victim because they get attention.
They
from
get
that.
Attention.
And then you totally lose focus on, I keep thinking, focus on the things above and not,
Really? Really?
Yeah. And it's not about, it comes back to, it's not about me.
Yeah, it's not about us.
And we focus so much on the things of this world. And it's just, it is a struggle to remember to focus on Him, and He knows, He has a plan, and He knows what's going on, and it's going to end the right way. You just have to get through it.
I said that because we're going to go to Colossians chapter 3. Anybody else want to? Did you want to say something too? Or were you doing that through Elaine?
No, I was thinking of a perfect example that I can think of, where somebody could have played the victim, but instead just changed the whole atmosphere, was when we went down to visit Janice at the hospital.
Yeah.
There she was with her little Red Sox or Patriots wrap blanket over her. And people were coming in, the nurses were coming in, and they were being blessed.
Yeah, talk about a light.
Really, yeah. She was such a light in that hospital. Yeah. She could, you know, she was in pain, and she had a lot to deal with that hip. And yet, she turned that right around.
Yes.
And she was not focusing on herself, she was focusing on blessing others.
People.
She really was, and it just changed the whole atmosphere.
Now, we might think, well, you know, okay, so, you know, this is just a little thing. No, it's not a little thing. You understand? That attitude of mind, she doesn't think about, oh, this is the attitude of mind I have. No, that's not what she's doing, you know. She's making connection with the Lord, and she's sowed to that. Trusting in God, seeking the Lord, that is just part of how she thinks, you know? And so this is really important. That's a perfect example of what we're talking about when we talk about the spirit of our mind. Because lots of people don't. You have a really bad situation in your body, and you're focused on your body. You're focused on yourself. And that's a real hard thing to get up over on top of.
Well, it's a natural thing to do that.
It's very natural. It's supernatural to do it, to work at it differently.
You know, like, here's a light, and you snap it on. Well, the light is already snapped on.
Yeah.
It's natural.
Yeah.
It's right on.
Yeah.
You know, it's precious.
Yeah, she's clothed in that.
That's right.
In that aspect of her life, right?
Yeah.
At least in that instance. Yeah.
That's the first thing I did was call on God.
Yes.
Yeah. I was in such pain.
Yeah.
I said, God, you've got to help me through this. I can't do it by myself. Three or four times, I called right out. God helped me through this. I was in such pain, they were trying to move me. There was a guy in the same room with me, because it was a curtain between us. The third day I was there, I says, oh, Lord, thank you. Help me through this again. You know, but I was very quiet about it. But, and he says, come on, old girl, you can do better than that.
I mean, that's an example of putting on Christ and renewing the Spirit.
Yeah.
It's become a habit.
Yeah. Right. There's the good habit of it, right? That's the good habit of it. And what happens is that there are places in our lives where we're not so easily fall into the right kind of thing, and like Kathy was saying, it might feel a little bit more put on, but that's what we're doing. We're actually having to clothe ourselves in these clothes, this approach to life and reaction that seems a little foreign to us. But the more that you put those clothes on, the more that it fits right.
Yes.
Right? You get, it becomes, those are your clothes now, because I keep wearing these clothes, and these are my clothes, because I'm wearing them, right? More and more and more. These are my clothes now. They weren't so much my clothes a year ago, but now they are my clothes. They're now this new way of thinking, this renewed mind, is now the kind of mind that I want, I accept, I've made part of who I am because of the Spirit of God. Isn't that right?
Yeah.
So it isn't like we're taking on something that's foreign to us as though we're a robot. No, we make the choice to put on these clothes, because these clothes are in more of the likeness of Christ and what He has designed for us to be all along, that we haven't walked in the way we need to yet.
Right.
And the more that we put them on, the more it becomes really just who we are. Right? Isn't that great? So, all of what we're talking about here in terms of this is God discipling us. You know, we can disciple people in the respect of pointing them in the right direction, but I am not going to disciple you. The Holy Spirit is going to disciple you.
That's right.
I can say things that help you along, and you say things that help me along. But if it's going to be real and lasting and true, it's you and the Holy Spirit taking a hold of one another. This is what I want. This is who I want to be, Lord. I don't want that old way of thinking, because that old way of thinking keeps me alienated from you. Keeps me from having my it keeps me in a place where my understanding is darkened about what's going on in life and why is this happening, there I am, poor me, and I never get out of that dark place. Even as a Christian, I don't get out of a dark place until we really say, Jesus, Holy Spirit, come and renew my mind. And we ask that right now, don't we?
No, but we can't walk the walk that He's prepared for us if we're in
the darkness of our mind. That's right. We can't do it.
Don't we want to walk the walk?
So this is what we have to do.
And be in that right place so that it's clear and vivid and right there for us?
Yeah.
Otherwise, we're not walking the walk.
No, we're not walking the walk.
And that's terrible.
Yeah. We can almost deceive ourselves.
Yeah.
You know, because we hear. But if we're not clothing ourselves, if we're not allowing that renewed aspect to take over in our mind.
The other thing, we're putting on the King's clothes.
Yes.
It's the King. He's giving us the clothes to wear.
Yes.
And don't we want the King's clothes?
We too.
Yes.
Yeah. Isn't that cool? I just love it. The King's clothes. Hallelujah. Jarvis, do you want to say
it? Yeah, it just brings me back to an adage back in the 60s and 70s. It was like, if you're going to talk the talk, you need to walk the walk.
Yes. Yes. Going to talk the talk, you got to walk the walk. I'm just going to read this because Elaine mentioned it. I'm going to cut this a little short. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 says this. If you've been risen with Christ, how many of us have been risen with Christ? We have. We've been risen, right? We've been risen with Christ. And if we've gone down into the waters of baptism, we go down in His death, and we're raised up in newness of life, newness of life. So it's a process that has begun, and now there's a continuing of that allows the youthfulness, the vibrancy of what has already taken place at our conversion, to have that new life, that refreshed, renewed kind of way of looking at something. And it's like that first love is just keeps getting churned out, right? So he says here in Colossians 3, if you've then been risen with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your affection, and what that means in the Greek, it actually means focus your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. When our mind is really focused, and you know what? Every single one of us want that.
Yes.
We want that. But But I'll tell you what, there's not one single person in this room that has arrived there.
No.
And so, what do we do about that? Well, we remind God that this is what we really want. And please, Lord, don't let me just go along in life and hide myself from my own flesh. There's a scripture in Isaiah 58:7 that talks about don't hide yourself from your own flesh. Now, that there's the aspect of you're not taking care of your family. That's an aspect of that. But the other aspect of that is that you won't look at yourself and say, well, there's nothing wrong with me. There's nothing wrong with me. You and I can hide ourselves from our own flesh. Somebody says something to us, and we go, they're wrong about that. I'm not like that. You know, somebody says something to you, and, well, that's not me. And if I'm not careful, I could be hiding myself from my own flesh. I don't want to recognize that that's something that's part of me, because, every single person here, when we think of ourselves as, I'm just a good person.
Yeah.
If there's a problem, it's the other person's fault, it isn't mine. Isn't that how we think?
Yeah.
And we can see what's wrong in somebody else, but we can't, so we're blind when it comes to what's wrong with us. Lots of times, isn't it? We can sure point out what's going on in somebody else's life, but we can hide ourselves from our own flesh. And that's part of that old way of thinking, that won't deal. Don't let anything come up that kind of pins me to a board, God wants to get my attention. Lynn?
Yeah, that's exactly the kind of thing that Reggie's sermon last week made me think on, that I want to change that.
Yes.
Do that. I don't want to be that way.
Yeah. Right? Because these are what we're talking about here. These are habits. Of mind.
Yeah.
Habits of mind. And those are the worst kind.
Can you just finish 3 and 4? That's the best part of that.
Well, okay.
Focus.
I was elaborating on verse number 2. We're now going to verse 3 and 4 for Rachel's sake. All right, here we go, for everybody's sake. Verse 3. 4. You are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. See, that's how you have to look at it, right? I can't talk anymore. I have to get to the 4th verse. Gosh, Rachel. Verse 4 says, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then you will also appear with him in glory. Isn't that great? We're waiting for that day.
Yes.
But you know what? We read that verse 4 and we're all excited about that, but we do have to read verses 1 and 2 to see 3 and 4.
That's right.
We do have to be those who set our minds, set our affections on the things that are above. We can't just hear these words and nod our heads and then it not be something that we really put our hand to. Right? It's a wonderful thing.
It's a wonderful thing.
Yes, because we make so many mistakes in life, and even after we come to Christ, I think Reggie said this. You wonder sometimes, am I a Christian? How come I'm still thinking like this or acting like this? This is us in process.
Right.
It isn't just magic wand, okay, now everything's fine now that we're Christians.
Right.
No, we're taking those steps that are going to last for eternity. And therefore, it gets worked in us day after day after day, right?
Yeah.
His mercies are new every morning.
Yeah.
He gives that to us, you know, because he loves us. What?
It reminds me of that scripture, I believe, Lord.
Help my unbelief. Yes.
You know, there's that dichotomy within you. You know,
yes.
I do believe, Lord, but I still have some unbelief, so that process is going on all constantly.
We haven't outgrown those clothes completely.
Now, I am going to read to finish up. I guess maybe I'm not what? Yes.
Well, the very fact that we question that shows
yes.
that we are a Christian, because
yes.
when we were walking in darkness, we never...
We're alienated. And that very thought, Glenn, back when I was a real young Christian, I thought, can I still be a Christian? I'm still doing these things. And what if I'm not a real Christian? What if I just think I'm a Christian?
Right, right.
And that thought came into my mind. Well, you know what? Because you're even sensitive to that shows that you are, because God's done something in your spirit, something deep. It isn't just the brain, it's an attitude of heart and mind, right? That does that to us. Now, it's funny that, it's not funny, but, you know, Psalm 23. You know, when you read this, you talk about, this is where you want your head to be at. You know, you want it to be whatever things are lovely and whatever things are good and whatever things are, you know, that whole thing out of Philippians. You know, put your mind on these things, you know, and then you won't be anxious and you won't, you know, all the other stuff that they talk about. But I've always loved Psalm 23. And back when I was a very, very, very young Christian and I was reading this, I actually believed and took to my own heart these words, you know, and the Lord is my shepherd. I believe that. Boom, that was it, that was it. And so knowing that puts a whole different slant on the way that I think about some things, right?
Right.
Isn't that right?
Yeah.
I shall not want. Now, I still have things to get worked out. But these things were a baseline that were so... He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul.
Mm.
Now, you know, you're in a situation, you know, the mind that says, no, wait a minute, the Lord's my shepherd.
Yes.
I'm not controlled by all this stuff. I'm going to trust him because I can, because of his love.
Picture it though, right?
Yeah, and you have to think about it.
Picture it, right? So if you're laying down in a field and it's beautiful, right? It's a beautiful day out, you're in a field, you're right next to the river. How sad are you at that point?
Yeah. You're not sad.
Usually you're sitting there going, boy, this is something, right? For those few minutes that you're there, this is pretty nice. Right.
That whole thing in verse 5 where it says, thou anointest my head with oil. And I really, you know, you picture that. Use Psalm 23. Use other scriptures, you know. And I would just picture the Lord anointing my head with oil. You can't be in a bad place if you actually do that. And then this last scripture really met my heart. And I've accepted it, I've embraced that, and I know that even though I have all these troubles, that this is my portion because I believe in it. Surely, goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And I'll tell you, you can't be a victim when you know that. When you actually believe that, when you're in the midst of crap happening in your life, say, no, this I do believe, that goodness and mercy is going to follow me all the days of my life. I believe that. And that doesn't mean that everything goes well, but I have His mercy. I have His goodness, and He's there for me, and I've always believed that, always. You're not a victim when you read those words, are you? And I'll just finish up with saying, you know, it's living in that light of the Lord that that actually does end up bringing clarity. You're not in the dark. You're not alienated from the life of God when you're thinking as He wants you to think. You know, where the mind has started that renewing process and you're believing what He says and not what's all around you or the disappointment or something that's happened. Okay, well, what's my next step then, God? What do I do about this? I trust You. I'm not going to sit there and think I'm, you know, everything always bad happens to me. No, that's not who I am. And if it's been in the past, it's no longer me. You know, you say these kinds of things and you have to mean it, you know. Okay, well, what's my next step, God? What do I do next since this has happened? What do I do next? And God, you'll have clarity because your mind is in the right place.
Right. Yeah.
You will hear from God. And you will do what's the next thing that you need to do. I like that about the Lord. He's very, very practical, isn't He?
Yeah.
And really, this step of having that, you know, seeking, putting on the new man, allowing a new way of thinking to actually take over the way that you and I think, you know, when we have this particular kind of way that we might be looking at something, well, no, we're going to change that. And you change it with thoughts, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
Your mind is thoughts. You can change that by the attitude of your mind and say, I don't accept those thoughts. These are the thoughts I'm now going to accept. Yeah.
I just feel like so much like the Lord is just saying to me right now that this is so something. Changing our own minds is so something that we can't do alone. And this is where, and I don't mean just with Him, but I think this is where the Lord is longing for us to come together closer as a church.
Yeah.
And when, you know, for me, you know, with a counseling background, I feel like I feel like everyone is just being attacked. And I think it's because we're becoming more and more sensitive to the Holy Spirit. We're becoming more and more sensitive to the Lord that we're wanting to change. And what a beautiful thing and what a beautiful sign of salvation that we have when we have that, you know, close to tears, like Aunt Lainey said.
Yes.
But I feel like the Lord is really saying, let us come together even closer as people of the church, not hiding and just coming in our Sunday best, you know, to church and saying we have no problems. But when we do need to go and counsel each other, let us not feel even as the counselors, because we're each counselors, but that we're not alone. Because all we have to do is go to the Scripture and speak life over the whoever, ourselves or our husbands or our wives. Hun, let me come back to you with this. I am so ticked off right now. Let me come back to you with this. Go and look up anger in your Bible. I mean, I have this Bible for dummies. I love it. It's fantastic and it's just for me. And seriously, if I just go up and look anger up and go and prepare my speech and then go and speak life over my husband, for example, wait, praise God, I don't have any anger issue, but I have many other issues. But if I can just take the Lord's word and look at Him as my great counselor, holy kaboli, how we would all be so much better, you know?
Yes.
Just speak life through the word. Go prepare your little 10-minute speech and speak life to whatever, your cousin, your brother, your sister, yourself, your husband. But don't rely on yourself in having to know what you need to say,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah, and the place that you go to this is what's really important is that it's by the word. It isn't just some other thought. It's going to be the word of life that you find in the word of God that you and I go to that's going to set aside the things of darkness so that the light of the Word of God can have its place in the way that we think.
Can I just say one more thing?
Of course.
I'm sorry. I also just have this vision of, you know, whoever is hurting, whoever is having a hard time putting on that clothing,
yeah.
You know, like I have a hard time sometimes just letting go of something. I will sit there and I will perseverate on it. And I know it's just Satan whispering in my ear, but even still knowing that, I have a hard time putting it aside. And I keep on, you know, allowing him in there.
Yeah.
And all I can picture in regards to healing is sticking that person or those people in the center of the body of Christ and having everyone around them in this little like kind of ritual with them not talking, no words. They are not allowed words. And just everyone speaking what you have spoken today, the truths of the Lord over these people. And they have no choice but to put on that clothing. They're hearing it. They're becoming washed with the Word of God and the truths of the Lord so that Satan is just being rebuked. Do you know what I mean?
Exactly.
I just have a picture of that, of this
yes.
beautiful ritual with yeah. the Lord.
I think that's what Paul was talking about. He says about being washed by the water of the Word. You know, we get washed, we get cleaned up, we get our mind out of the way we used to think about things and life and people and situations, and now we're going to look at it from the right perspective, from the right, having the right attitude of mind, right spirit of mind. And like Heather said, it's hard to do this all on your own. And that's why we need one another and the gathering of the saints together on Sundays, you know, but that can happen with a phone call. That can happen in lots of different ways. So we need one another to be encouraged and washed by what the Word has to bring us through different people. Amen. Amen. We thank you, Lord, today. I ask that you be with us in every way that we need. We give you praise. We give you glory, Lord, that we are new creatures in Christ, and there is that continual refreshing of that new nature, of the renewing of our mind, that it stays fresh, that it stays in the light and not in the dark thoughts, Lord, where we would be alienated from you, but Lord, that we desire to walk in the light every moment of the day. This is our desire, Lord, that we walk in the light and walk in the light. That all that you have for us, that we would walk in. And we thank you, Lord, for that. We ask that you bless it. Bless this word to us today. And the words that have come previously, Lord, that at the right times, the right moments, that you quicken those things to us, and that we would be people that aren't just hearers, but we're doers of the word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.